Welcome to a Season of Caring podcast, where we share stories of hope for family caregivers, breaking through the busyness and loneliness of caregiving to find God, even in the midst of the season. This is Raina Nicesher's host, and today I'm excited to introduce you to Dr. George Ackerman. He's from Brooklyn, New York, who's now residing in Florida. He works in the field of law, police, and education. George lost his mother, Sharon Rift Ackerman, on January 1st, 2020, due to Parkinson's disease. George wanted to honor his mother and continue to help in the Parkinson's awareness cause and didn't know how to bring about change. With his family, he started Together for Sharon for the purpose of keeping his mother, Sharon Rift's memory alive and to share the message of Parkinson's awareness and hope for a cure. Today, togetherforsharon.com reaches thousands of individuals across the country for PD awareness. George currently interviews individuals throughout the Parkinson's community, including various foundations, caregivers, and Parkinson warriors to help share their stories and causes. George, thanks so much for joining me today. It's an honor to have you here.
Thanks for your time and also for your viewers. It means the world to me and my family. I really appreciate it.
Well, I love what you're doing to honor your mom. Tell us a little bit about her and what caregiving with her will look like for you.
Sure. My mother unfortunately passed away 3 years, but it feels like every day. Reoccurring, but due to Parkinson's, she had it for about 15 years, but never really affected her inability. She was very independent, lived alone, was able to, you know, grocery shop and do normal things until the last year where really unfortunately excelled. I don't know if it was due to medicines and things, but I kind of fell into the world of caregiving without my choice or even much knowledge on it. I've never done anything like it. But I found myself quickly trying to maneuver and try anything I could even imagine or not even dream of to try and help my mother. We really tried so many things. I always said to myself that never want to regret anything. And if we had to do it over, I would. And it's really the only thing we need now is a cure. And that's why I do what we do today, because I feel that awareness is a big problem. It was when I was going through my struggles with my mother and our journey. And I don't want anyone to ever have to have that feeling that I did. So that's why, again, we fight every day. Some days I don't sleep, but I just want more people to be aware of Parkinson's disease, because I find and I feel in my heart if more individuals were aware that we would have a cure by now.
I think that's one of the hardest things for me as well. My mom was diagnosed when I was only 16 years old with Alzheimer's disease, and she lived 12 years, and then 7 years after that, my dad was diagnosed, and he lived 14 years. And it amazed me that the medications my mom was on in the 80s were the same medications my dad was on, you know, 30 years later. So it is such a difficult thing. And like you said, it seems like a lot of the research and the funding and things are starting to catch up. Do you feel like they're doing a better job with the research in Parkinson's, or is it still pretty far behind?
Michael J. Fox Foundation is making great progression because of their hard work. They're actually introducing individuals like me to our local congressmen and women, and they're trying to get, and actually it's already going through the process, the first bill in our U.S. history, political world. It's called End Parkinson's Disease, so it's an actual bill through Congress, and if more individuals, even your listeners in their cities, they can reach out to their congressmen and women to really get involved. I was able to give them a 3-minute speech, practice it for weeks, had no problem. I'm a good speaker, but I fell apart during that speech because there's one part where I talk about how my mother's favorite thing to do is on Sundays to blow bubbles in the backyard with her grandkids. And unfortunately, you know, we can't do that anymore. So it was definitely heartwarming, but heartbreaking. And I'm just hoping that they do pass this bill. They do have for other diseases, but Parkinson's, unfortunately, never had that attention. We're lucky to have, unfortunately, Michael J. Fox, who has the progression, had early onset, but he's an incredible fighter and warrior for this terrible disease. Now, individuals like ourselves and your viewers can reach out to their local representatives and also get involved. So I found that they're doing some great things. There was a biomarker found that's there might be a chance soon that you can actually test to see if you will have it. And that helps a lot, because then you can actually give the proper prescription, then treat the proper illness. But I'm a PhD, I'm not a medical doctor, I can only talk about our experiences, but
sure.
I'm under the past. I mean, there were garbage bags full of medicines, and I can't imagine that didn't add to the speediness of the stages of the Parkinson's, because you might be prescribed something, but every individual is different. So who knows if it's the right amount, the right doses, and you have caretakers putting those into play at the right time. So one little thing is just very, very difficult. And she was lucky enough that we kept her in her own home. We didn't put her in a home. That was also, we never know if that's good or bad. I just wanted her to be cared for. But, you know, we don't know if in a home they might have, you know, given better appropriate medicines at the right times. So these are just things that I kind of think back on. But again, I can't have any regrets.
Yeah, you just have to do the best that you can. And it sounds like you did a lot to help support your mom. And I know for my dad, there was a lot of comfort in being in his own home. So I think a lot of times that can be more comfortable for them. Definitely more challenging to get the care to them sometimes that they need. But so I'm glad that you're really involved. And I do encourage the listeners to get involved in the political side of it. I don't love that, but I think that lobbying piece can make such a difference. And so many times our causes are getting to where they're really easy to send emails and to stay engaged in those bills. So thanks for reminding us of that, George. I think it's so important to be able to just remind those lawmakers how important these things are.
Yeah, it's a bipartisan thing, not political, really. Sad thing, I'm not sure of the state, but I was told a week ago, the local congresswoman had to actually step down because she found out she had Parkinson's. So now it's affecting, more and more, unfortunately, individuals. I was shocked that I always was thought that there were about 1 million people approximately with Parkinson's in the U.S., but 4 or 5 months ago, I learned about something called the World Parkinson's Congress, and that's a group who is all self-funded volunteer. They bring all the Parkinson's community around the world together, and it was a beautiful event in Barcelona, Spain. I couldn't attend, but I was able to really network a lot. I've been able to meet a lot of inspiring people. But now I'm aware there's about 10 million people around the world. So Parkinson's is really affecting more people than we could ever dream. And again, awareness is a problem. I wasn't aware of that. But I decided we had togetherforsharon.com, and it's a website. We're not a company. It's just me. And I was alive. It was out there, but it's kind of just, occasionally I do things. But I said, why not use this platform to share other individual stories? But I decided, and I kind of went a little bit too much for one person, it's just me, but I've interviewed about 300 people now in just 3 months. And again, it's been an honor and pleasure because I'm learning so much. And it makes you also, as a caregiver, know that you weren't alone. Now, today, that's my new journey, really, is to just help others. And every day I try to publish another interview or story. And I plan on going back to number one and doing it all over again. So hopefully forever I can keep doing this, or until we find a cure. I'm currently writing my first book. I've written books, but now on Parkinson's, and going to be on the journey between my mother and I. And it's going to be really in depth and bring us into the sad parts and the happier time. But I kept a journal during this whole, that whole last year. I even documented it. I won't share pictures and videos because she wouldn't want to remember it like that. But I did want to try to just share the good stories that my wife and I also started our podcast once a month. It's just a conversation on awareness where we get to speak to people in the Parkinson's community. You know, so we're trying to just kind of stay out there. I'm in South Florida, like you mentioned, and I'm sad sometimes that we only might have a walk a year, and it's just not enough. Last year we had one. A tornado came, and while I was standing there, it ended the whole thing. We love those events because you get to be with the people. And
yes.
Usually a little desk, and we have a table where we hand out bands. I'm usually in the middle of all the pharmaceutical company. So people actually are scared to come over because they think we're selling something. But I had a great opportunity one time where somebody realized that we were just there to support them. She started crying. We all cried together. But it's my main goal, even talking today, that individuals know that there are people like us who really love them, support them, and I don't want anything really in return, just to find a cure.
Yeah, so important. So what would you say surprised you most about stepping into that caregiving role?
How much you're not prepared. I mean, I went to law school. I've been a police officer, and I have a PhD. none of it prepared me at all for this. Again, it was really a full-time job plus five more full-time jobs. So on top of my regular job, and I have three children and my wife. Luckily, I had a great there. She's amazing support. But I didn't get to see my family. And then the worst is that my mother had also dementia, which caused delusions and hallucinations. So she would say the an aide who just kind of more like helped out just to watch over her. She'd tell me once they harmed her and things. So that police officer, I believed her. And then I had to put video cameras in. So I noticed one time one did kind of neglect her and she needed help at 4 a.m. and they didn't show up. So we went through basically like 10 companies. Then it was $12,000 a month for us to have somebody watching over her. That's just to, for the care, not for food and living expenses. So it's not easy for most people. And the financial part of Parkinson's is something we would need 10 more series of podcasts about. We just, wouldn't have time. But I think the most surprising thing is, even today, I don't have, I learned what, how to be, what to do, but it's still, you're still learning.
Yeah, there's so much responsibility and so many different areas to become acquainted with. It is difficult. And then, like you said, just managing care, bringing helper in is a whole job in itself, isn't it? So there are so many hats that we wear as caregivers. And I think that's one of the things that support groups can really help, is to kind of make you not have to discover everything on your own, but can give you, people that have been there or are in the middle of it can give you support in that way. But it definitely can be overwhelming. So share with us, George, a story of when you felt like God really showed up for your family.
Hard. Is there, for some odd reason, we remember more of the dark times than the positive. The last year I was questioning that. But I think, unfortunately, in the end, she was at peace. She had a tough 7 final days. She really didn't really live well the last 7 days. That was the hardest time, I'd say, in my entire life. My mother was my best friend. We had I call it an odd relationship, but other people just say it's great. But we spoke like 100 times a day. I remember when I met my wife, even on our first date, I called my mother excited and told her I knew about her, and they fell in love too. I got a lot of individuals, my parents-in-laws, but ours loved each other. And I would always, my mother was the first person, whether it was passing the bar, or passing the police academy, or having our baby, that I called. So having that gone, was tough. And even today, like, we went to Lionel Richie concert. And, after we left, I thought about calling her on the drive home, but she's not there. So what I would say, the big impact that did have, where I would think individuals are watching over, is really Together for Sharon, in an odd way of being able to reach out to the community, to still share my mother's memory, and to continue to learn. I think the best thing in life is that we're continual learners. I might have a lot of school, a lot of degrees, but I learn so much from every individual I meet.
Yeah, definitely. And in the dark times, it can be hard to see God in the middle of it. But I think it's important to remember he doesn't ever leave us, even in those hard times. What would be one thing that you would like the listeners to know specifically about Parkinson's disease, or just maybe symptoms or things that might give them a clue if there's something going on that they aren't aware of?
Yeah, one thing I learned, unfortunately, the point we were reaching out, my mother was kind of, it was too tough for her, but moving is the key word, moving. It's really this synopsis and the whole entire movement when you have walks and things. But with Parkinson's disease, if individuals box or if they, walk or do exercise, it seems to slow down the progression. The neurological disease that affects the brain. Again, everybody's so different. So some individuals can respond much better to that. We were lucky because we reached out to many organizations, but one did show up. That's the American Parkinson's Disease Association. We raised about $10,000 of my own family's funds every year. We donate and we walk. We also support other organizations like the Parkinson's Foundation and the Michael J. Fox Foundation. But the American Parkinson's Disease Association actually showed up at our house. Unfortunately, it was, again, too tough for her, but they did offer different resources, and that really helps a big time when you feel alone. So I think that that's important. But being in the community, to me, is very important, and meeting other individuals going through the same thing, whether caretakers or someone diagnosed, is really critical and pivotal in this entire fight. To conclude on that note is really moving. The moving is very, very important. Have to keep moving. If you ever, they recommend like 40 minutes of exercise a day. A lot of times people do that, but some don't. But my mother, she liked to walk, but she wasn't into the most physical fitness. I became a personal trainer. Then I ended up having recently back surgery myself. So I always joke into myself and say, my wife, and say, I might be healthy if I never did any exercise. But for Parkinson, again, to the point, it's moving. You have to keep.
It's funny because it seems like it's the opposite. That would be the helpful thing. But definitely, I know in my area in Wichita, there's a group that has exercise classes specifically for people with Parkinson's. And I think it's becoming more well known that the movement is making a difference. And so that's important to know.
Yeah, you mentioned some signs of a lot of individuals. If you look at the new movie by Michael J. Fox, which I recommend, it helps a lot with awareness. I don't know if you've seen it, but I did a little review on my website. But the usually the tremors are some signs. My mother didn't have external. She said she had internal. Mm-hmm. So it's the tough thing. Again, I'm looking to write about this more in the future. And law enforcement, I'm a police officer reserve now. And even an officer, I've heard stories where they'll pull someone over and someone's shaking and moving and they don't realize it's just Parkinson's. So we need to get, again, more awareness in every venue, in every field. But she had more of a left arm and very stiff. So she was able to, again, live a regular, normal life. But there were times where she couldn't, when we went out to dinner, she couldn't even cut her food. That was like a sign, one of them. But then when it started getting worse, she would start having more issues. Her toes would curl up. She complained of fibromyalgia, which is located in the back pain, dystonia, different symptoms of, so again, the curling of the toes. She also made like different movements were not what a regular individual would have. They're all just signs that something wasn't right. They looked into it. And they do specific tests. Again, I'm not a medical doctor, but they were able to determine where some people are actually misdiagnosed, which is a problem too. But those were some of the signs. The worst is really the delusions and hallucinations. Mm-hmm. Some are caused by the medicine. But remember one time I wrote in my book is my mother and me and my daughter, she was about six at the time, were just sitting on her bed on a Sunday, just talking. My mother went over to hug her sheets, her pillow sheets, and was hugging and saying, I love you, Brooke, was my daughter's name, but Brooke wasn't, you know, sitting there. So those are the kind of things that really are depressing but frustrating. Again, I feel like if we have more awareness, we would have a cure for many of these areas.
Yeah. So to wrap up, can you share one thing you feel like helps you to live content, love well, and care without regrets?
Yeah, just writing helps me a lot. Again, I kept a journal during the last year. Writing a book now, it's going to be a journey. We're changing the title. And then after that, I'd like to follow up with all my interviews. We're going to put all the interviews I've done around the world in a book. I've even thought of a children's book because it was hard because I couldn't explain to my children. So I have a lot of things in the future really excited about. But these things like podcasts with you really touch my heart and make me feel great today and tomorrow. And I get really excited. I do live chats for work. Like as a professor, and I do get excited with that, but this is much more exciting because I feel like we're all on this planet for a purpose. And unfortunately, I've taken a horrible situation, but I feel that we've turned it into a positive. So I just want everyone listening here, and I want to thank you and you listeners, but really just I always leave everyone with one thing, that there are people like me who want to send love and support. And I'm always just an email or a call away. I'm never stop fighting until we have a cure. And again, I just really want to thank you and your listeners for this time. Just, I can't say enough, but it really means the world to me. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for coming and sharing about your mom, George. Again, you can reach George at togetherforsharon.com and see more of those stories as he's publishing them regularly, as well as keep your eye out for his book. Thanks again for being here today.
Thank you.
Listeners, thank you for joining us for Stories of Hope from George. This episode has been brought to you by Content Magazine, an electronic quarterly magazine available today to help you find God in the middle of your caregiving season. Take a moment to find Him and then jump back into your caregiving refreshed and ready to go. It's available now at contentmagazine.online. If you would like to sponsor an episode of the Season of Caring podcast, feel free to reach out. I'd love to hear from you. The Season of Caring podcast has been created to share stories of hope for living content, loving well, and caring without regrets. If you have legal, financial, or medical questions, be sure to consult your local professionals and take heart in your Season of Caring.